This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up in 15 minutes, a gentleman who helped us out with our VSiN college football betting guide, Paul Stone. He will join us in 15 minutes, talk some best bets. He will also break down his top quarterbacks. But we got a lot of baseball going on as we speak as Bryce Harper hits a homer off of the crappy Nats bullpen. It is now 6-3 Phillies, minus 1340 in the seventh inning, the Nationals were.
How about that? Would have been a nice dog to play live there with the Phillies.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Dang.
Talk about Phillies and their firepower. I really, really like the move they made by getting Luis Arraez from the Giants, batting 324. Put him at the top of that lineup. I think it makes the Phillies formidable. Gives them a shot to take down the Dodgers.
Bryce Harper, dead center, two-run shot in the eighth. Now 6-3 Phillies. Phillies six unanswered. You know, since the seventh. Since they had a little stretch time at Citizens Bank Park, they stretched it out and they got six runs.
It's interesting. We had Cody Decker on the first hour, former MLB player, and he talked about Mike Trout. He said, I really believe if Trout wanted to be traded, he would have been traded. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why Trout is so stubborn in sticking with the Angels. It's a losing organization. I know there's something to be said for loyalty and playing for one team. But the Phillies, as Cody pointed out, we've talked about this many times, Phillies seem like to be a perfect fit for Trout.
It's from South Jersey.
This Phillies team can make a run. The guys never won a playoff game. Man, they should have made that work.
It's a bit odd when you think about it. But for whatever reason, he is sticking in Los Angeles, and as is Reed Detmers, but a couple of other moves. They did trade Joe Adell to the Cleveland Guardians. Guardians were busy. They got Joe Adell. They got Foster Griffin from the Washington Nationals. Right now, bottom of the fifth inning, before we update you on our game of the night, top of the fourth right now at Wrigley. The Pirates still holding on to a 4-1 lead. The Brewers did get on the board with a RBI single just a moment ago, as Joey Ortiz, a RBI single to make it 4-1. That was just the second hit of the night for the Milwaukee Brewers. So end of five in Milwaukee, Pirates up 4-1. So some dogs were barking in the Pirates and the Nats. The Pirates holding on. The Cardinals still up 6-2, Matt, but the Yankees on the board. Too little, too late. Two-run homer here in the bottom of the fifth. Austin Wells just went yard, the number 9-hole hitter. I know a lot of Yankee fans were hoping for a catcher, and Adley Rutschman goes to the Boston Red Sox, so kind of a double whammy there for the Yankees. They don't get a catcher, and their arch rival and a team that is red hot right now does in the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, but you can understand why the Red Sox got Rutschman when you look at what Boston gave up in the deal. And that's one thing. I'm not going to knock Brian Cashman for this because he said the Yankees were in conversations about the Baltimore catcher who went to Boston. And when you see what the Red Sox gave up, you can see why Baltimore did the deal with Boston. And it's a good move for the Red Sox, but they gave up a lot.
It was a hefty haul, to say the least, for the Boston Red Sox. But they are red hot right now, coming off a sweep of the Dodgers. Dodgers might be looking at four losses in a row, as they were up 3-0, had a three-run homer in the top of the first inning, Matt. But since then, it's been all Cubs, as Seiya Suzuki went yard in the bottom of the first. You had Kevin Alcantara coming up from the minors, hitting his first homer of the season, and Carson Kelly went yard as well. 6-3 right now at Wrigley Field. The Cubs with the lead, top of the fourth inning, one out in the top of the fourth, as Matthew Boyd still on the hill for the Chicago Cubs. So 6-3 is the score right now. Our VSiN primetime game of the night. Another contending team at the Tampa Bay Rays in action right now, as they lead the Colorado Rockies. Let's update you on Yankee Stadium, Matt, as we got back-to-back homers.
Another bomb in the Bronx. Trent Grisham goes deep, bottom of the fifth, 6-3. Yankees close the deficit a little bit in this game. So live line at DraftKings now, Cardinals minus 389.
Ball flying. That game has gone over now with that home run. So that game goes over the total of 8, which was 8 juiced under. And going back to Wrigley Field, our game of the night, most spots had 8 juiced under as well. And that game over. Has already gone over as well. So the ball flying a bit here on a Monday night. Washington and Philly look like a dead under game. Now could potentially be looking over as the total was sitting 9.5 at most spots. It was actually 9 juiced over at Circa, which would right now be a push. So 6-3 is the score between the Nationals and the Phillies. Still to come, Matt, the San Diego Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Right now, the Diamondbacks, a slight favorite at some books. And we'll get some thoughts on the Padres because Cody Decker, who is one who likes to look out for his former ball club, the team that he made his only big league appearance for was the San Diego Padres. So we'll get some thoughts on the San Diego Padres later. But it was deadline day today. But the big move this weekend, Matt, of course, Tarik Skubal going to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's hear from Dodgers manager Dave Roberts prior to the start of tonight's Dodgers-Cubs game regarding the discussion that the Dodgers are ruining baseball.
It just seems like there's always blowback with us. People are passionate. We feel good about it. There's nothing that we did that no one else couldn't have done. You know, I just laud our front office. We have to have the players to be able to pull something like this off. And, you know, we still got, you know, arguably one of the top one or two or three farm systems in baseball, you know, a day later. So it's a credit to a lot of people in this organization. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Dodgers gave up none of their top 4 prospects. Now, their number 5 rated prospect looks like he's going to be a pretty good player. But I think what Robert said there is true. I'm surprised another team did not step up with a better package of prospects to offer the
Tigers.
Especially
over the weekend, man.
Right.
Like, if it was today and it was up against the deadline, okay. But why did the Tigers make this move when they did, when it wasn't overwhelming? And that's where you can kind of get into the conspiracy theory discussion.
That all the other teams wanted to say, get Skubal to the Dodgers so we can use this as Exhibit A and why we've got to push for a salary cap. And the owners wanted Skubal to go to the Dodgers so they can push this salary cap on the Players Association. I actually believe in that conspiracy theory. I do.
Well, especially, too, because he's under contract next year. But, Matt, if you're under contract next year and there isn't a season, doesn't
exactly.
really matter, right?
It doesn't. I think there will be a season, but it's going to be a shortened season. You know, we'll talk about that down the road, but what would you guess we're going to see in 2027? A 60-game season saw in 2020?
Not 162, that's for sure.
Maybe 100-game season,
yeah.
Something like that. But I would be really, really surprised if baseball starts on time.
By the way, quick update from Wrigley Field and the Dodgers. Surprise, surprise, not going away quietly. Now 6-4, a little 2-out rally. And Pete Crow Armstrong, I don't know if he'll be he might get called for an error there. It was a hard hit line drive to center. He did not field it cleanly off the hop and allowed a run to score. Looked like he was going to hold up there and ended up going after the
bobble. Why was he going to hold up anyway?
Yeah, he should have been sent anyway.
He should have been running anyway. I don't know what the Dodgers were doing there. The third base coach was asleep. Anyway, I heard that Pete Crow Armstrong made a very bizarre comment. Do you have that? Do you have details of that comment?
Yeah, all right. We do. We'll how about we hit that later?
Okay. Let's get Skubal first.
Let's hear from Tarik Skubal, the newest Dodger, regarding his trade and why, he doesn't feel so bad.
At this time, I'm excited to be a Dodger. You know, I'm excited to get down there and meet all those guys and, chase 3 championships in a row. You know, it's hard to do, so I'm excited to be a part of that. It's a lot of different emotions. You know, definitely kind of a roller coaster a little bit.
I imagine one of the tough parts of this, not being able to kind of finish the mission with those guys in there that you get a lot with. How tough is that?
Yeah, very tough. You know, all offseason, that was, you know, ever since that 24 game 5, the failure that I experienced on the mound, I've used that as fuel to try and bring a World Series to the city of Detroit. You know, I truly did. And that whole offseason, I was never been more motivated. And then, you know, go in and we lose game 5 again. And, that failure kind of sparks some more motivation, you know, and just to dig deeper and see how good you can truly be. And, you know, the goal was always to win a World Series, you know, for the city, for the organization. That took a chance on me. So, yeah, it's tough. You know, I love all those guys in there. They're some of my best friends, you know, and yeah, it'll be tough for sure.
All right, so that was Scooble after the trade. Today, Matt, while being interviewed at his locker as a Dodger, he's expected to start tomorrow. He said, quote, every team could trade for me. I don't sympathize with people that blame the Dodgers for anything they've done. It's a winning organization. I really don't sympathize with people that are complaining because the Dodgers do all the right things, end quote. From Scooble.
Yeah, I said Will Hill and I were on the show a couple weeks ago. I said Detroit has got to trade Scooble. You got to get something for him. You can't sit on it like the Angels did with Ohtani and get nothing in return. You got to get. I thought the Tigers would get more back than they did. I thought they would get a hell of a haul for Scooble,
like the haul the Orioles got for Adley Rutschman.
Exactly, but you know, it's. I think it's the right move by Detroit to trade him. I just was surprised the Dodgers did not have to give up more. Andrew Friedman, the Dodgers president, said, quote, whenever there's a star-level player that is available that can really shift championship odds, those are moments that will be more aggressive. Dodgers' odds moved from plus 180 to plus 150 to win the World Series.
Matt, our college football betting guide is out, and Paul Stone ranked his top 15 quarterbacks and also handed out a couple of best bets. Our buddy Paul Stone joins us next.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Chicago Cubs up 6-4, bottom of the fourth inning, our game of the night. P. Crow Armstrong, whose odds are shrinking to win NL MVP, only plus 110 entering today. The gentleman who is the favorite, once upon a time, was a very, very heavy favorite, Shohei Ohtani, of course, of the Dodgers. 6-4 the score, bottom of the fourth inning. The Philadelphia Phillies are going to come back and beat the Washington Nationals tonight. 6-3 the score, top of the ninth inning. The Pittsburgh Pirates up 4-1 on the Brewers. We'll get back to baseball and the happenings of today's trade deadline, but it's a big day here at VSiN. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out. Matt Eumanns and Paul Stone ranked their top 50 teams, a collaborative effort. And Paul Stone, kind enough to join us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And Paul also broke down his top 15 quarterbacks. And I tell you what, Paul, you could poll the 100 smartest college football minds, and you're going to get a lot of different opinions because the headline, and I agree, it's the year of the quarterback in college football. So let's start at number one, and you are going to go. You're not going to overthink it. You're going to go with a guy there in the Lone Star State, Arch Manning.
Homer pick. This is a homer pick.
Well, no, it's not, man. You know, guys, good to be with you, first of all. You know, Arch Manning at Texas, Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss, and C.J. Carr at Notre Dame, I could have gone with any of those three guys. I think they're clearly going – I shouldn't say clearly, maybe, but in my mind, they're the top three guys. So it could have been any order. I just think Arch Manning, with the ascension that he showed down the stretch – last year at the end of the season, like those last six games, he really elevated his play. You know, we, you know, probably forget maybe in some cases that he was a first time starter. You know, he didn't ask to be the Heisman Trophy favorite. He didn't ask, you know, for all the publicity and all that, but second half of the season, he really came into his own. And I think the difference this year is going to be his running. They are going to utilize Arch Manning as a runner. The touchdown runs against Texas A&M and Michigan in their last two games just showed what he could do. He had a top-end speed on the 60-yard touchdown against Michigan of 23.7 miles per hour. There's only a few guys in the NFL that can bust, you know, that top-end speed. So he's got deceptive speed. Looks like he should be, you know, going through rush next week at Ole Miss or maybe at UT, but that guy can burn, and I think he's going to have a big year.
It's interesting. If you remember Archie Manning, he could run. And then you got to Peyton and Eli, who looked like they were running with a tray of drinks. Those guys couldn't run at all. And then you got Arch Manning, who's an outstanding runner. And he was much better in the second half of the season. Look at Paul Stone's top 15 quarterbacks here in the VSIN College Football Betting Guide. Arch Manning 1, Trinidad Chambliss of Ole Miss number 2, C.J. Carr 3, Dante Moore of Oregon 4, followed by Gunnar Stockton of Georgia, Julian Sand at Ohio State, John Mateer at Oklahoma. He looks like he's become a bodybuilder in the offseason. Have you seen any photos of John Mateer?
He looks like Brady Quinn.
Well, Nora Sellers, South Carolina, off a disappointing season, ranked number 8. Number 9 is Sam Levitt at LSU, the Arizona State transfer. Number 10, Darian Mensah at Miami. And the next 5, Bear Bachmeyer at BYU, Marcel Reed, Texas A&M, Jade Mayava, USC, Byron Brown, transfer from USF to Auburn, and C.J. Bailey, pretty interesting NFL prospect, big quarterback at number 15. Paul, you probably could go 25 deep here with quality quarterbacks, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think two things I'll point out about my list. First of all, there's no Josh Hoover. Obviously, right. He played at TCU for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to be at the University of Indiana under the tutelage of Kurt Cignetti and company. Josh Hoover's a guy who I'm really high on. He's got a big arm. He played high school football at Rockwall Heath High School just east of Dallas, real close to where I live here in eastern Texas. So I'm very familiar with him. But Josh Hoover, you know, I just put this was kind of my litmus test. If he was going anywhere but Indiana, would I have him, you know, in the top 15 quarterbacks based on his first 3 seasons? And the answer is I wouldn't. I mean, he started 31 career games at TCU, turned the ball over 42 times, 33 of those turnovers, has an interception rate of 2.8%, which is extremely high. I know Cignetti's going to mitigate a lot of those factors. He's going to have better people around him. He's not going to, you know, turn the ball over that much. But that was my reasoning there. And then the guy that I included that I don't think many people would have, BYU true sophomore Bear Bachmeyer. This is a guy who was in camp with Stanford 17 months ago. Their coach, Troy Taylor, gets fired. He ends up at BYU. He's the starter from day one and just had a big-time true freshman year. 3,000 yards passing, 500 yards rushing, accounted for 25 touchdowns and only 10 turnovers, only the 19th Power 4 quarterback to accomplish those standards. So I like Bachmeyer. I think he's going to have a big year this year for the BYU Cougars.
I do too. I like Bear Bachmeyer quite a bit. Paul Stone turned, he gave me his top 60 power rated teams. I combined my top 50 with Paul's rankings, and that's how we came up with the VSIN top 50. Paul, I noted in the column that you had Ohio State 1, Oregon 2, Notre Dame 3, Georgia 4, Texas 5, Miami 6, Indiana 7. I had Notre Dame 1, Oregon 2, Georgia 3, Ohio State 4, and Texas 5, Indiana number 6. The quote from Paul Stone in the column, "My top 5 are bunched tightly, but when in doubt, go with Ohio State. If someone wants to argue that Notre Dame should be the preseason number 1, I'm not offering much resistance." And Paul, I noted when I talked with Stormy and JVT this morning that my top 7 teams I've got with power ranked within basically 3 points of each other. Very small separation in that top 7. I think that's probably true for you, especially the top 5, right?
That's exactly right. I think my top 5 are 2 points apart. So yeah. There's no just real clear team that just jumps off at the page at you, so to speak, but there's a lot of really good teams. And I mean, it's difficult. I mean, it's obviously a crapshoot distinguishing, especially between the first 5. I think we had the same, if I understood correctly, the same top 5 teams. Yes. In different order. Yeah. And then Miami and Indiana, you could certainly make a case for those 2 teams. And then, you know, LSU and Ole Miss and some others. So, man, it's just a wide open year and you had to pick somebody. So I picked Ohio State again. Just kind of based on history, they've allowed less than 13 points a game each of their past 3 seasons. They've got perhaps the best college football player when you look at each position in Jeremiah Smith. Julian Sayin will make tremendous strides, I'm sure, in his second year as a starter. So went with the Buckeyes, but I love this Oregon team, and I love Notre Dame as well. And I think Notre Dame will benefit from having the easiest schedule of the three teams there at the top.
Paul Stone, college football, college basketball handicapper as well at Paul Stone Sports is where you can find him on Twitter. You also have a couple of best bets in our guide as well. And let's get to make or miss the playoff bet. You've got LSU to make the playoff. Right now, DraftKings has it available at plus 160. So what about year one of the Lane train down in Baton Rouge has you believing in the Bayou Bengals to make it to the CFP?
I mean, you know, first of all, Lane Kiffin, obviously a polarizing figure in college football. They hire him in December. He leaves Ole Miss, and the rest is kind of history. But Lane has a lot of things that he, you know, pretends to be or proclaims to be. And one of his self-proclaimed designations is that of the Portal King. And I think the shoe fits this year. They did a big-time job. LSU is serious about college football. They will spend the money. Lane Kiffin and his new staff came in, and I think they allotted it well. Certainly Sam Leavitt, their new quarterback, who came over from Arizona State, led the Sun Devils to the playoff in 2024. Last season, not quite as successful. His season pretty much cut in half due to a Lisfranc foot injury. He has to be healthy for LSU to make a run. But this LSU team, I think where their improvements will be most notable will be on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they bring in big-time guys at all three levels. This is a top 10, maybe even a top 5 caliber defense. I think that's really where they're going to be much improved. I like LSU despite a very difficult schedule. And looking at that schedule, they've got 5 games where the game of the year line right now is 3.5 points or less. Ooh. Whether they're favored or the underdog, 3.5 points or less. Those being road games at Ole Miss and Tennessee, home games against A&M, Alabama, and Texas. I like LSU plus 160 to make the college football playoff.
There you go. Back-to-back champ of the Circuit College Hoops Challenge at Paul Stone Sports. Also the first guest in the history of VSIN to be wearing a UTSA Roadrunners hat for his appearance. Nice job, Paul.
Good deal. Thanks for me, guys, and hope everybody has a great college football season. Hopefully this time next year, we'll be talking about 3-time champion of the college hoops challenge.
Wow. Maybe I'll be 3-time runner-up, Paul.
I'll take it.
There he is, Paul Stone. Once again, our college football betting guide is out. Paul, one of the many contributors, including this gentleman right here, Matt Humans. Get it over at vsin.com/subscribe. The Brewers making things interesting in Milwaukee.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Another homer in our game of the night. The runs continue to flow in at Wrigley Field as the Cubs now a 7-4 lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Once upon a time, this was a 3-0 lead for the Dodgers. Not no more, though, as we just saw. Michael Busch hit a solo home run to give the Cubs a 7-4 lead, Matt. So right now, bottom of the fifth inning, Wrigley Field. And the evening is over for Justin Robleski. Not a good one. He gave up 4 homers at Wrigley Field tonight. 7 runs on 7 hits. And his ERA, 2.85 on the road? That is going to be lofted up a little bit because he got beat up tonight by the Chicago Cubs.
Total was as low as 7.5 at some books out there today, and we got 11 runs on the board in the fifth inning tonight. So obviously the over at Wrigley was a pretty good bet in this pitching matchup, actually a great bet tonight. And also the over in the Bronx was a good bet. Cardinals lead the Yankees 6-3, top of the seventh, so that's over the total as well.
Tampa Bay Rays up a touchdown right now in the Colorado Rockies, top of the third inning. So Tampa leading 7-0 and looking to add to it, as they have 2 on with a man at the plate right now with 2 outs, top of the third inning. Going back to Milwaukee, Matt, 4-3 the score. The Brewers able to get a run on a throwing error, also RBI single from Andrew Vaughn, but they had men on the corners unable to get out of, or excuse me, unable to add to it. So right now, 4-3 lead for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but the live line in that one has the Brewers as a short home dog at plus 117. So they've cut their deficit from 4-0 down to 4-3. Matt, the New York Yankees, a team that made a move on Sunday. They got from the Washington Nationals, they were able to bring in a decent bat, but some people were hoping for maybe a little bit more from
Garcia.
Luis Garcia Jr., as he made his debut tonight. He's 1-for-3 for the Yankees in his debut, but Joel Sherman, who has covered the Yankees for a long time, he was on MLB Network earlier today and was a little bit confused by some of the moves that were not made by the Yankees.
You know, Greg, in some form or fashion, as a beat writer first, then as a columnist, and then lucky enough to work here, I've covered the Yankees every year in some fashion since 1989, and I usually think I have a pretty good pulse on what's going on with them. And even a day ago, if you would have said, what's par for the Yankees at this deadline, I would have said, well, they'll definitely get a right-hand hitting catcher and at least one reliever they feel comfortable with in the last 6 to 9 outs of the game. They got neither of those. Now, the Yankees are held to a pretty high standard. They're going to get killed here. They did acquire the guy who was leading the National League in slugging, and that's going to get pushed off as they got a platoon bat from the Nationals. And I guess it is a platoon bat to the extent that he's really good against righties, Luis Garcia Jr., and not lefties. They then got a platoon bat from the right side in Julio Ramos to go play the outfield. He's not a very good outfielder. The Yankees are clearly doubling down on the 2026 Yankees. That means that they believe that Judge, Stanton, and Bellinger are going to come back and make this lineup deeper, and that Ramos and Garcia will help them survive in advance until they get there. And they mainly believe that they have a depth of pitching that soon Carlos Rodon will go in the rotation and Clark Schmidt will come off the IL after Tommy John surgery. And Schmidt and one from Will Warren or Ryan Weathers will go in the bullpen. I think it's not impossible that Luis Gil joins that, who was the rookie of the year 2 years ago. And they're going to use excess starting pitching to try to answer this.
All right, that was Joel Sherman, MLB Network. He's covered the Yankees for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Matt? We also saw or heard from Brian Cashman today, said they had conversations with the Orioles about Adley Rutschman, but couldn't come to an agreement on the price. As we saw, the Red Sox paid a pretty big price to get the Orioles catcher, former Orioles catcher, who, by the way, is currently on the injured list, but should be off, I believe, pretty soon. What do you make of what Joel Sherman said there? And hashtag Yankees update, where were you on the moves or lack thereof that they made for today?
Not crazy about it, obviously, and but that's par for the course for Brian Cashman. Typically, you're going to be disappointed in the moves that Cashman does not make. I really thought Luis Arraez had to be the guy the Yankees went after. Put him at the top of the lineup. Look, how many times can you trot out a leadoff batter who's batting .212? And that's what Trent Grisham's batting. Arraez is batting .324. Yankees got too many strikeout guys in the lineup. He would have been perfect to put at the top of that lineup. And they whiffed. They didn't get him. He went to the Phillies. He was definitely attainable when you look what the Giants got for Arraez, who's, by the way, been on 5 teams in 5 years, a 3-time batting champ.
Yep.
The Yankees should have gone after him. I strongly thought the Yankees should have gone after him. They didn't do it. I'm not going to kill him for the catcher situation because I thought the Red Sox gave up a lot to get him. So that's understandable that they struck out there. But just – it doesn't feel like they made the moves like Joel Sherman said there. They didn't make the moves they had to. You had to add one arm to the back of the bullpen. I think you had to add a guy to the top of the lineup like Arraez, and they didn't do it. They had a couple of platoon bats and not much else. So pretty disappointed, and I think most people would assess the Yankees as a disappointment at the trade deadline.
MLB.com, take it for what you will, rank the top 25 trades of this deadline. They have the move to get Luis Garcia from the Nationals as number 7.
That's a pretty good move. It is a good move.
Luis Garcia, by the way, I know he's not a household name. I follow the Nats. I was hoping for a little bit more. I understood why the Nats traded him and got four pieces back. None of them overwhelming pieces. But I do think, as Joel Sherman pointed out, I think it is fair, his point, which is people are going to say, oh, so they got some guy from the Nats. I mean, he's leading the National League in slugging percentage. He's a pretty good bat that you're putting in there. But I think the disappointment, correct me if I'm wrong, is that they don't really need a first baseman slash DH.
No, didn't need that. That's why I thought they needed a guy like Luis Arraez, but let that go.
That was the number good move by the Phillies. That was the number three trade, according to MLB.com.
What was number one, number two?
Number one.
Skubal.
Number two is Adley Rutschman, which I think you could say in the moment, sure, but also, Anthony Ianson, the kid from LSU just a year ago, he immediately becomes the Orioles' top prospect. I mean, they gave away a lot to go out and get Adley Rutschman, but they, you know, that was a guy that they wanted, and they were going to make a big time move for it. Casey Mize goes to the Padres. I was, we had on our buddy Cody Decker in the first hour, and we're going to play a clip in the final hour of the show regarding the Padres. A.J. Preller, you know, he thought maybe they're going to be a seller, Matt. Nope. They went out, and people thought, are they going to trade Mason Miller? No, they're going to go make moves and try to go for it here, which some people might have seen as a surprise, but they went out and got Casey Mize. That was actually this article, MLB.com. They rated that as the fourth best move, and then they had Robbie Ray going to the Padres as the fifth best move.
Really?
Yeah. That seems a little high.
That's too high.
Yeah.
That is too high. Robbie Ray's a decent move, but come on. Padres 58-54. They've won three in a row. Maybe that's why they decided, we're not going to be sellers. You know, we won a few games. Sometimes that makes a difference.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
In the way you think in the front office.
Be curious, Matt.
By the way, the Padres game about to start. That's the last game on the board tonight. Should mention that.
Yep.
Michael King is going to go. Brandon Pfaadt for the D-backs. And Michael King, we'll just call this a pick'em.
Yeah.
And a total of 9, 8.5 or 9 in Arizona tonight. Two teams fighting for a playoff spot in the National League West.
Circa going to close -106 both ways, and total sits at 9, juiced under. We have a home run at Yankee Stadium, Matt, and just like that, Yankees not done. Hashtag Yankees update. Ryan McMahon, solo homer, and we got a 6-4 ball game.
You know what? The Yankees picked up Ryan McMahon at the trade deadline last year, got him from the Rockies, and he was basically a defensive addition. He's a really good glove at third base. He gets knocked a lot for his offense. He's not much of a hitter, but I actually think he's been quietly surprisingly good at the plate this season. Now, he's batting .215. That's not a big deal, but he's got 10 home runs. He's not been bad, and he's an excellent defensive third baseman. That was a move the Yankees made this time last year.
So Michael King and Brandon Pfaadt, as Matt mentioned, about to get things underway down in Phoenix, Arizona, and the Padres. Most shops have that going off right around a pick'em or as a slight favorite. Kyle Tucker hitting one off the wall against his former team, and it is 7-4. Did he get thrown out at second? He sure did.
That's going to be a long single off the wall. Yep. Nice throw.
Seiya Suzuki, have a day. Seiya Suzuki with the two-run shot in the bottom of the first. And Matt, another update from Yankee Stadium. Hashtag Yankees update.
Back-to-back homers. Jose Caballero goes deep, and it's 6-5. Cardinals over the Yankees. And see if they can get Cam Schwitler off the hook for the loss here tonight.
Yankee.
Live line all the way down to Cardinals -147. Just a few minutes ago, it was -800.
The contending teams. The Phillies came back to win tonight. Trailed 3-0 in the seventh. The Yankees down 6-0, now 6-5. The Brewers were down 4-0, now 4-3. Those contending teams showing some life tonight.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, things got interesting, Matt, at Yankee Stadium and also at Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field, we had seen Kyle Tucker hit one off the wall in right field. He tried to stretch that single into a double. Maybe he shouldn't have been so aggressive, Matt, because the next man up, Teoscar Hernandez, hit one out of Wrigley Field. 7-5 to score. And he knew it. As soon as that ball, I could only imagine what that felt like.
He got every bit of that one. And you could tell it was headed to the street. I don't know if that's Waveland. I can't remember.
Waveland Avenue, right?
I think it's Waveland.
They changed the name?
Field. Well, I can't remember.
Hey, Michael Phelps is there tonight.
I've only been to 100 some Cubs games. I can't remember if that's Waveland Avenue on left field or if that's right field. But anyway, he Teoscar bombed that one out of the stadium. That was, it should have been a 2-run shot, but since Tucker got thrown out, it is now 7-5. Is that Michael Phelps?
Yeah, Michael Phelps. And I think he's sitting next to Bob Odenkirk. And they just, I don't know if they gave Bob Odenkirk any love, but they just gave Michael Phelps some love. He won, I think it was like 12 years ago today, he won one of his bajillion gold medals. The Brewers have flipped to the favorite, Matt, at home with Christian Yelich at the plate, bottom of the seventh inning, and two men on. We will see if the Brew Crew can come back and take the lead for the first time tonight. They were basically trailing the entire evening. Things have gotten interesting. How about the Yankees, Matt, are now the betting favorite? Well, maybe not. They were for a moment. I don't know what's going to happen here with Ben Rice because they were just a $1.16 favorite, and it has now flipped to St. Louis being the favorite. So I'm assuming Ben Rice is not going to get a hit here. No, he's just going to take a strike. All right. Pretty interesting night of baseball on deadline day. We've had some...
I'd say the headline games tonight, Cardinals, Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs have definitely lived up to the hype. Definitely if you bet the overs.
Yeah.
Ben Rice, I believe, is going to make an out here. So, and that is a deep fly ball to center field. So that's going to be out number two. Yankees still have a runner on second. Bottom of the seventh, 6-5 Cardinals.
So eyes on the Brewers... Pirates right now, Christian Yelich at the plate, bottom seven. Yankees Cardinals has turned from a blowout to a close contest. And I wonder if it is a muggy, windy evening at Wrigley Field because the ball is flying right now at Wrigley Field tonight. Dansby Swanson, a leadoff single in the bottom of the sixth, 7-5 is the score there. Also coming back tonight to get the victory, you could have got the Philadelphia Phillies at around, I think, 7-1 live as they came back from a 3-0 deficit, hit a grand slam, their first grand slam of the season. They hit it in the bottom of the seventh inning, and they end up winning 6-3 as Bryce Harper also went yard in that one. Underway in Arizona, scoreless between the Padres and the Diamondbacks and the Tampa Bay Rays and their 65-46 record. They are looking like they will head to 66-46. Junior Caminero, not one, but two homers tonight. 32 home runs on this season. Hey, folks, football season almost here. The sharp money is already moving, and here's how the sharp plays sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major sports books, thousands of sharp bettors, and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. All their plays have been logged, records back to 2011. The sharp plays record gets audited daily by their own haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow Sharp Money at sharpplays.com.
It's always interesting when we look at these trade deadline deals down the road. And, you know, the Yankees once traded away Yordan Alvarez. Or the Dodgers did. Dodgers.
Yep.
We don't know. We don't remember the Dodgers for making many bad deals, but they did trade away Yordan Alvarez. You just mentioned Junior Caminero. That reminded me the Cleveland Guardians made one of the worst trades. That was in 2021. They traded Junior Caminero to the Rays for a relief pitcher, I believe, Tobias Myers. That was when Caminero was 18 years old. And I would say, safe to say, a guy who's got 32 home runs, Tampa Bay got the better of that deal.
Yeah, you see some of these mega deals. I mean, how about as a Nationals fan, Matt? The Nats got Juan Soto, got James Wood, CJ Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, in a 5-for-1 deal that traded Juan Soto. Matt, give us a Yankees update.
Speaking of the Nationals, how about Luis Garcia? Traded from Washington to New York. He hits a 2-run shot. He's already got a single in the game. How about that for your Yankees debut?
Wow.
Luis Garcia hits a 2-run homer to give the Yankees a 7-6 lead with two outs in the seventh.
Man, 6-0 once upon a time was the Cardinals' lead. Cam Schlittler will not get the loss tonight. The Yankees' offense has come to life, and Luis Garcia, I got to imagine, they want him to give a curtain call on his debut as he just gave them the lead with a two-run shot to right center field, low and inside, and smacked it over the right center field wall, and he knew it.
He's pretty happy about
it. He's enjoying his first homer as a Yankee. 7-6 in the bottom of the seventh
at
inning.
At one point, Tim, in this game, the Cardinals were right around -1,000. Now the Yankees are -630.
So we've seen two teams get to north of -1,000 tonight. The Nationals blew that lead 3-0 in the seventh. We'll see what happens in this one, but the Cardinals, they are now a heavy underdog. By the way, the Pirates did get out of that jam in the bottom of the seventh inning, so the Pirates have moved back to a -219 favorite. Man, this has been a pretty good night of baseball. We do have some updates from Ryan and our buddy Bosch. Waveland is out to left.
Yeah, okay.
Sheffield is right. To right. Okay. Teoscar's ball, as he says, Waveland. Went 450.
On the Waveland Avenue.
That was on the Waveland Avenue.
That was. By the way, Pete Crow Armstrong wants in a trade from the Mets. Mm-hmm. You think they regret that deal?
I mean, they regret a lot of things, Matt.
What was Pete Crow Armstrong's comment? We teased to that. I heard a reference to it today. I could not believe that he actually said this. Was it taken out of context or what?
I don't know.
He's not this dumb, is he?
I mean, his mom was in a movie, Little Big League. I mean, this is going to be crazy, Crow Armstrong admitted. Babe Ruth never existed is the one that I like. I heard some pitcher with the Mariners. I think he did some podcast on Zoom when he was going down the rabbit hole with somebody about how Babe Ruth never existed. The podcast Crow Armstrong was referring to was back in 2024 when Mariners pitcher Taylor Cicito, in which he alleged there aren't many videos of Ruth playing baseball, so he must not be real. We've always talked about how the game is evolving. People might as well have been like underhanding the ball to that guy, and he's regarded still as one of the best players.
Come on.
It was in reference to an unpopular opinion. I don't know if it was something that he believed, but yes, that is he's a good baseball player. I think we'll leave it at that. Let's you look like an absolute you know what earlier this year, yelling at a fan in at the White Sox game.
He actually got a season. He went on a tear after that incident at the on the South Side against the White Sox, and that's why he's an MVP candidate right now. He's been hot, but is he really that dumb?
You might be. Huh? And that's why, you know what? Keep hitting some baseballs. Keep playing the outfield the way that you do. But let's not hear your thoughts regarding the existence of a very real person named Babe Ruth. And he just got a walk, Matt, in the bottom of the sixth inning, 7-5. By the way, Pete Crow Armstrong odds down to +110 to win NL MVP.
I'll tell you what, I've got the Brewers at +275 to win the division. This is going to be a race to the wire. I feel like the Cubs are going to be a hot team over the next 2 months. They're up tonight, 7-5 in the sixth inning. And Milwaukee losing at home to the Pirates. The Brewers shut out yesterday in Anaheim, are down 4-3 at home to the Pirates tonight. And their division lead would be down to 5.5 games if these scores hold up.
Cubs very busy at the deadline over the weekend. They traded for Kevin Gausman from the Blue Jays. The Brewers,
not much.
They got my ginger brother, Dustin May. Got a couple of random arms. But also the Cubs got Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor from the Mets. Pretty price tag to give up their number two prospect in Jefferson Rojas. But they're going for it right now, Matt. The Cubs are making a couple of big-time moves. They also got a reliever from the Angels. So Cubs are busy. Brewers, not so much. And right now, 4-3, the score, top of the eighth inning. Our game of the night, once again, Cubs-Dodgers. It's been a good one at Wrigley Field. 7-5 And Luis Garcia Jr., in his first game as a Yankee, gives the Yankees the lead in the bottom of the seventh with a two-run shot to right center field. Good night of baseball on deadline day.